If you are not familiar with the events of last weekend in Charlottesville, you live a blessed life. I'm sure most of us are probably familiar with that by now, the rioting, the conflict, that woman getting killed. It was a horrible ordeal. If you're not familiar with it, there are many things on the internet that will enlighten you. Over the last week, I've seen many good and many bad responses. I've seen people who have given insightful and meaningful and biblical responses that would draw us into the way that we should behave. And I've seen many, many responses that simply continue the cycle of madness. It is easy to get drawn into the chaos and the conflict that may or may not exist. Now, to be fair, a lot of this supposed conflict is perhaps a creation of the media, the way that the media covers things, but not all of it. And it is true that in the last year, these things seem to be happening with increasing frequency on college campuses, in towns, conflict and chaos and fighting. And you have to, if you have any sort of social media presence at all, you cannot help but be flooded with information and people either complaining or praising, people ranting and railing. And like I say, it's easy to get sucked into the chaos and conflict. Now, the elders and I agreed that I think it would be good to address such things. And as I was considering my own response, I was drawn to an idea. And this is an idea that Lee loves to bandy about in the men's Bible study. If the apostles existed today, if they were around today, what sort of letter would they write to the church in Dewey, Oklahoma? What sort of response, what sort of information would they give us? If Paul were to sit down and write a letter to us, what would it say? And it's amazing, because through the power of the written word, I don't think we have to wonder that. We don't have to ask what would he say, because we know we have it. We can see it written down. We can read it for ourselves. The question that we have, of course, the difficulty is in applying those things and piecing it together to apply to our specific circumstance. And so tonight, as I've done once before, I'm going to give you what I think a letter to the church in Dewey would say. If it had been written today, if it had been written in response to our particular struggles, in our particular time of conflict and strife, these are the sorts of things that I think Paul and Peter would write, and I feel very confident saying that, because these are the things that they wrote. If you're interested in a reference list, Tracy will have it for you at the end of this lesson. I entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I beg you that I won't have to address you as those who think we put our confidence in the things of this earth. For though we walk in flesh, we are made of flesh. We are not waging war according to physical, material things. As servants of God, we must commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance and afflictions, no matter what they may be, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, or hunger. We must do so by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, and by truthful speech, with the power of God, equipped with the weapons of righteousness in the right hand and the left. For the weapons of our warfare are not swords or guns or bombs, and because of this, they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. We must share in sufferings as a good soldier of Christ, and we know that no soldier gets entangled in the pursuits of the civilian, that is to say, the pursuits of the flesh, since a soldier's aim must be to please the one who enlisted him. So we must be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, and not the might of any earthly power or military. We must put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For again, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to remain steadfast and strong when the days are evil, as I think they would be today. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which we may extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with prayer and supplication. To that end, be vigilant. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and pray also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth to boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. But if I speak in the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am merely a clanging cymbal or a noisy gong. And if I had prophetic powers, and if I understood all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I had all faith so as to uproot mountains and move them from where they stood, but if I did not have love, I am nothing. If I gave away all that I had, and if I delivered up my body to be burned for the sake of this message, but if I did not have love, I would gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. It does not keep a record of wrongdoing. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Our love must be genuine. Indeed, abhor what is evil. Be disgusted by it and hate it. But hold fast to what is good. Love one another with familial affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be lazy in passion, but be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them instead of cursing them or speaking evil of them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with those who are not in your socioeconomic class. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but intentionally seek to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. I appeal to you, my brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree that there be no divisions among you, but that we be united in the same mind and the same judgment. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We must not show partiality as we hold to the faith of our Lord, lest we make distinctions among ourselves and become judges with evil thoughts. For the promise of forgiveness is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, whoever the Lord our God calls to himself. Let us not fall into the sin of Peter, who before certain men came from James was eating with the Gentiles, but when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews, they also acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. Rather, we must walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may not know how you ought to answer each person. In this way, you can be the salt of the earth. However, be careful. If salt has lost its saltiness, how can it be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Therefore, never avenge yourselves. Leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We can be the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it on a lampstand, but under a basket. But they put it on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, or any other commandment are summed up in this one thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Remember, love does not seek its own way. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. Besides this, you know that the time has come for you to wake up from your sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed, and the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the stars and planets will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on them will be exposed. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not with sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Do not gratify the flesh's desires. Flee youthful passions. Pursue righteousness. Pursue faith, love, and peace, along with all those who call on the name of the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant our opponents repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil after having been captured by him. We must not be outwitted by Satan. We are not ignorant of his designs, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, so too your thoughts might be or may even have already been led astray from a pure devotion to Christ. Yes, you were called to freedom, but do not use that freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, as we have seen, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Do any among us claim to be wise and understanding? By their good conduct, let them show their works in the meekness of wisdom. Blessed are the meek, those who do not exercise every right and power that they have, for the meek shall inherit the earth. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and even demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. Remember, love does not seek its own way, and love does not keep a record of wrongdoing. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus says to you this, do not resist the one who is evil. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, give him your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him two. Give to the one who begs and do not refuse the one who would borrow. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But Jesus says to you this, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be subject to the hell of fire. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but don't even notice the log in yours? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's a giant log in your own eye? You hypocrites! First take out the log from your eye, and then you will clearly see to take the speck out of your brother's eye. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. They are opposed to one another to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And I warn you now, as I've warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with the people who do such things. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful work of darkness, but instead expose them, illuminate them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. There are many false teachers in the world who bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction, and many have followed their desire to gratify the flesh, and because of them the way of truth has been blasphemed. And in their greed, they try to exploit you with false words. For many people refuse to endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. But as for you, flee these things. Run away from them as fast as you can. Instead, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, put it to death along with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us do the things the Spirit would have us to do. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. Have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For this is what you are called to do, that you may obtain a blessing. For to this you have been called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin. Deceit was not found in his mouth. And yet when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But he continued to entrust himself to the one who judges justly. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue peace. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them. Do not be troubled in your hearts, but in your hearts honor the Christ as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you, why do you have such hope? Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ, they might be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good than to suffer for doing evil. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles, as people who do not belong here, keep yourselves from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among non-Christians honorable, so that when they speak against you as those who do evil, they may see your good deeds and glorify God when he returns. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but as servants of good. Do not be surprised at the fiery trial that should come upon you to test you, as though some strange, unusual thing were happening. Rejoice insofar as you share the sufferings that Christ himself suffered, that you may rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a thief, or an evildoer, or as a murderer. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, not be ashamed. Let him glorify God in that name, the name of Christ. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel? If the righteous person is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be controlled and sober-minded for the sake of prayers. All keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. See to it that no one takes you captive by any philosophy or empty deceit, anything that's according to human tradition and human understanding, according to the elemental spirits of the world and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the desires that exist contrary to God, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith, who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God has made alive to him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses, amen, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its requirements. This he set aside, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, you must forgive. Above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you are called, and be thankful. What shall we say to these things? What conclusion could there be? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring a charge or accusation against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is the one who condemns or judges? Christ is the one who died, who in fact was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are merely regarded as sheep led to slaughter. No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither depth nor height, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor anything else in the entirety of creation can separate us from the love of God. Behold, he stands at the door and knocks. If anyone hears the voice of Jesus and opens the door, Jesus will come in to him and eat with him, To the one who conquers, he will grant with him to sit on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.